approximate course, this discourse appear in Nidana Vagga, Dasabala Vagga, and it's called Upanisa Sutta. So it's in the connected discourses of the Buddha Sanghita Nikaya. At Savatthi, Bhikkhu, I say that the destruction of the taints is for one who knows and sees, not for ones who does not know, does not see. For one who knows what, for one who sees what, thus the destruction of taints come about. Such is form, such its origin, such its passing away, such is feeling, such is perception, such are original formations, such is consciousness, such its origin, such its passing away. It is for one who knows thus, for one who sees thus, that the destruction of the taints comes about. So these taints sometimes translated as cankers, and Pali word is asrava. So there is this canker of lust, canker of becoming, and canker of ignorance, asrava. So for example, the body tie of covetousness called abhijjakaya grantha, that leads to the canker of lust. That means having seen something, and one would regard, let this be mine. So that asrava, that one lead to this asrava, the canker of canker of lust. And Buddha said that this destruction of this asrava, of taints, is for one who know and see. It's not for the one who does not see, does not know. So what one knows is that this, regarding this five aggregates, matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, one should know the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, how it comes to arise, how it passes away. So this form is come to arise. Remember that the Samadhi Bhavana Sutra, that one seek delight in form, well comes in, it remain holding to it. By doing that one, this delight arises as clinging, as condition, the existence, and then there is this birth. So that's how the arising phenomena and then the passing away phenomena. So that those phenomena should be known. So if someone knows that it is the case, then he can actually destroy these taints. Now, I say, Bhikkhu, that the knowledge of destruction in regard to destruction has approximate cause, does not lack a proximate cause. So the proximate cause is that there is something leading to this one, from this that arises. So, and what is the proximate cause for the knowledge of destruction? It should be said liberation. So from the liberations, one would get the destruction of taints, vāstra, vimukti. So we need to look at what this liberation means. And liberations are very well explained in Patisambhida Magga, Kuddhaka Nikaya. So Buddha says, Bhikkhu, there are these three liberations. What three? Liberation by voidness, liberation by signlessness, liberation by desirelessness. So there are three. So how is this the liberation by voidness? What is liberation by voidness? Here a bhikkhu gone to the forest or a root of a tree or to an empty place considers thus, this is void of self or of what belongs to self. Shunyamidam attaniva attaniyenava. So he is considering that whatever thing in the world, the material things, this is not self, this is not mine. And whatever thing that is regarding this body is made up of this body, well, it is empty of that one as well. So the parts, the self is, for example, form is empty of the self. And whatever the parts over here are also empty of that something called, concept called self. The self is sort of made up.
That means the parts are individual, like it's a matter and these liquids and all these things. Is that
it one? Is, to the bottom line is that one. But normally we would regard this body that given a name, that it is, this is called Lalit, and that's this Padmasiri over there. And one would say actually, that no one is calling my body as Padmasiri. The Padmasiri is Padmasiri, because that name was given to me as Lalit by my parents. So someone, you know, that is Lalit. So now I am saying that my body is sort of empty of the concept called Padmasiri. There's nothing over here, it's called something called Padmasiri. So there is this emptiness. And then I will say the same statement, I would repeat, that I said that my body is empty of Padmasiri. Now I cut down that word Padmasiri, I say my body is empty of the concept called Lalit. I just replace the word Padmasiri with Lalit. And then I little go a little bit further, and then I cut down the word Lalit and I put I. My body is of empty of the concept called I. So it is empty. So there is an emptiness in this body parts. Nothing is actually called I. So going further, you can see there is nothing over here that I can think that this is mine. This is self. If you were first, you agree with me that it is, no one is calling me Padmasiri, so therefore my body is empty of the concept called Padmasiri. So when you put the word in Lalit, we're a little bit puzzled, right, because we used to call him Lalit, and you actually go into the I level, then you are completely puzzled, because it is constructed by me myself. The Lalit was given by my parents, but I is constructed by myself. But if you look at that logic, you can see that there is nothing over here. So there is this emptiness. So if you apply this emptiness thoroughly, where you reach the seventh concentration level, seventh jhana level. Buddha said that is the second thing that lead to the seventh jhana concentration. But thoroughly, you have to apply it thoroughly by examples and sort of thing by thinking and all those things. You should arrive at that one. Normally, the Eightfold Path meditation leads to that one. So that's the emptiness. So one is going up to that level, and then he does not, he contributes no manifestation, misinterpretation there, that particular statement that I made, there is no misinterpretation at all. I am agree that no one is calling me Padmasiri, but I am actually not agreeing to that this part is calling self. There shouldn't be any misinterpretation. So if there is no such misinterpretation, that means there is this liberation by voidness, emptiness. And then there is this liberation by signlessness. Here again the first part is the same. Here bhikkhu go to the forest or the root of a tree, go to an empty place, considers thus, this is void of self or what belongs to self. He contributes no sign therein. The first one he is taking as not self. Now he attained to that level and then he actually contributes no sign, that is no sign of permanency. So there is the liberation by signless. He does not see any sign of permanency in any of these things. And the third one, what is the liberation by desirelessness? Here bhikkhu go on to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty place, considers thus, this is void of self or what belongs to self. He contributes no desire therein. So he is applying the suffering nature. In one case he is applying the impermanent nature, and in the other case he is applying the not self nature. So he applies those three phenomena, so there are three liberations. You can jump from one to other as well. If you get the liberation by signlessness, then you can go to the liberation by the suffering, the desirelessness. And then from that one, you can go into the liberation by voidness. So those are the three liberations. Now, coming back to over here, so we explain what is liberation means. I say, bhikkhu, that liberation is... Liberation too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for liberation? It should be said dispassion. Virag, dispassion. So, I say, Bhikkhu, that dispassion too has proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for dispassion? It should be said revulsion, nibbida. That is that, is more commonly used kalakirima as the Sinhala word, but it is not, it is used in a bad sense in Sri Lanka. And so here, that person having contemplated that this aging, sickness, death and all those things, and having known the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, then he get fed up with this process. It's not about the body that has arisen. It is about the process. You know, sanskar, what I do, you know, what I have done and get it to this one. And why would I continue on that one? So that sort of thing. So there is this revulsion, that is nibbida. From the revulsion, you can say, we can get the dispassion. It lead to the dispassion. From the dispassion, liberation. And liberation lead to destruction of taints. And I say, Bhikkhu, that revulsion too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for revulsion? It should be said, the knowledge and vision of the things as they really are. So this is yathabhuta jnana in Pali. Again, that having contemplated that the birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, and the rising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. He understand that it is so, it is suffering. I accept that it is suffering. And one would understand that it is, this suffering is caused by, not created by somebody else. It is by this particular process that I cling to something, and because of that clinging, that this is created. And there is a way out of it as well. So there is this nirodha, or the cessation of that one. So having understood that one, he get the revulsion and the dispassion and the liberation and all those things. I say, Bhikkhu, that the knowledge and vision of things as they really are too has approximate cause. It does not lack approximate cause. And what is the approximate cause for knowledge and vision of things as they really are? It should be said concentration. So from the concentration, you get this knowledge and vision of things. So how do you get the knowledge? It's from the concentration. How do you get the concentration? It is from the right mindfulness. And how do you get the right mindfulness? It is from the right effort. So it is the Eightfold Path. Going from the Eightfold Path, you get the right concentration with the other six, seven factors. And that one lead to the knowledge of knowledge and vision of things, yathabhuta jnana. I say, Bhikkhu, that concentration too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for concentration? It should be said happiness. This happiness is sukha. Over here, happiness is sukha. So when you have sukha, the happiness, there is concentration. And I say, Bhikkhu, that happiness too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for happiness? It should be said tranquility. From the tranquility, we have the happiness. And the happiness, there is concentration. Concentration, then the knowledge and the vision. So it's going through the revulsion and up to liberation. And then the destruction. So tranquility is that, this tranquility is, there are two tranquility, tranquility of the body and the tranquility of the mind. It is like that, let's say it is very sunny and someone burning from sun rays goes underneath the tree. So now he is not burning from the sun rays. So there is this tranquility for him, because he is out of sun rays. Similarly, this tranquility is because that he is not affected by lust, malice, and then lobha dosa moha, that's the three things, that is this greed, and in the lust, and then the delusion. So he's not burning from any of those three things.
That's the mind thing. What's the body leave?
Well, there is this, the tranquility of the mind and the tranquility of the mental states. Each state. So both are tranquilized. And I say, Bhikkhu, the tranquility too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for tranquility? It should be said rapture. Rapture is that some sort of a pleasure that arises in your head or fingers or somewhere, that depending on the characteristic, it is that when you do the meditation, then you get this rapture arising and is passed through the body. And that rapture leads to the tranquility, because that rapturous and his mind is happy. And then this leads to the concentration. I say, Bhikkhu, that rapture too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for rapture? It should be said gladness, pamuchanti. Gladness is the cause. If you look at Samannapala Sutta in Diganikaya, that's the second discourse, Buddha said, when he knows that these five hindrances have left him, gladness arises in him. That those five hindrances, sensual desire, and the ill will, and the sloth and torpor, the restlessness and worry, and though these things are not present, that he understands, I do not have it at this moment. He just detected that it is no longer there within me in the meditation time. So that gladness arises. When the gladness arises, then it leads to the rapture. The five hindrances have left him, gladness arises in him. From gladness comes rapture, the delight. So from the gladness we get the rapture. From the rapture there is tranquility. Tranquility leads to the happiness, that is sukha, that is third jhana level. And then that leads to the concentration. So now Buddha said, I say, Bhikkhu, that gladness too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for gladness? It should be said faith. So from the faith we get the gladness. How do you get the gladness from the faith? Because we listen to the Buddha. He said that these sense pleasures and this anger, these things are bad for us. And get out of those things and attain the skill states of the mind, and you're thinking about the impermanent nature, suffering nature, some sort of thing. By contemplating that way, well, why did we actually do the meditation? Because he said so. So because of the faith, some people don't do the meditation or anything, does not follow the Buddha, because they don't have faith, lack of faith. When there is faith, one would do it. So when they do it, they get the gladness. And I say, Bhikkhu, that faith too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for faith? It should be said suffering. So from the suffering, if you are happy, would you look for anybody else? You are not coming to the temple, or you are not going to even to a teacher, if you are not suffering. You are not looking for anybody. You are not going to the school.
But still, that you don't understand, even though it is happiness or sadness, a lot of people, what they do is, it's a part of the process. That's what they think. As a human nature, that's a part of the process. And unless you listen to the Dhamma, you don't think that is because of the ignorance that we people believe on the other side. I mean, believe on that is the part of nature.
Yes, but the suffering got to be there. If there was no suffering, one wouldn't go for anybody else. Since there is suffering, one would actually go. If someone does not see the suffering, let's say I'm permanent, I'm not changing, I'm the Brahma, I have all the powers, I'm not going to die, I don't look for anybody, anything else. Since there is impermanent nature, since there is suffering, That's why people are looking for the solution. The bottom line is that if there is no, I mean, so that means having this suffering is really good in that one sense, that one would ask for, look for liberation. If there was no suffering, then one would think that the Bhaka Brahma, for example, he was thinking that he passed away from the fourth jhana realm and we born in the second jhana realm, Mahabhasara Brahma realm. So he thought that he got the power, he got, there were this 10,000 fold system is under his power. And I thought, yes, this is permanent, this is good. And then Buddha appeared and actually told him that it is not so. You are going to pass away in such and such a date. So it is that we get into those views if it is not. So this is from the suffering we actually look for. And if you look at Nibbedika Sutta, Buddha said that when it, there is suffering, that people go for someone. Is there anyone who can actually say a line or two, pada or deka, padayak or deka, that is, you know, one or two sentences to get rid of this suffering. And because it's becoming that bad, so they want to get rid of this and need that guidance. So, because of the suffering, the faith come to arise. From the faith, the gladness. So the gladness, rapture, from the rapture, the tranquility and the happiness and concentration, and that lead to liberation. I say, because that suffering too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for suffering? It should be said, birth. Since there is birth, there is this aging and death, sickness. So there is this suffering and sorrow, lamentation, pain, all those things arise with the birth. So therefore, that the condition for suffering is the birth. And I say that birth too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for birth? It should be said existence, that is bhava. Bhava has got two parts. This particular concept is not thoroughly understood by many. Bhava is being as action. One is called kamma bhava. And there is this being as reappearance. That is uppatti bhava. So there are two bhavas. So this bhava has got the characteristic of developing the renewal of existence. So there are two parts. I will read a small part from, this is the Abhidhamma Pitaka, Vibhanga, and it has got this part is explained. Okay, so this one explained as, because of attachment, becoming arises. So it's going to the previous link, that because of the attachment we have this existence. Becoming by way of two-fold division. Is action becoming? Is resultant becoming? So there are two things, kamma bhava and uppatti bhava. Therein, what is action becoming? Actively producing good, resultant. Actively producing bad. Activity producing bad. Activity producing unshakable. This is called action becoming. Also, all action leading to becoming is action becoming. That is kamma. Therein, what is resultant becoming? Becoming in the plane of desire. Becoming in the plane of form. That is sensual plane, that's the human plane. So we be born in that one, so becoming in that one. Becoming in the plane of form, that is the Rupa Dhyana world. Becoming in the formless sphere, Arupa Dhyana. Perception becoming, non-perception becoming. Neither perception nor non-perception becoming. So those, that's the Arupa Dhyana, the fourth four dhyana realms were split into these things. And so it goes on like that one, and then it says, this is called resultant becoming. This is called because of attachment becoming arises. So you can see this upadana, the one that lead to this bhava, the upadana or the clinging leads to the existence of being as reappearance. Not as the karma part. I will explain this one little bit further. the karma is not caused by at that time. It is the being as appearance. We need to go a little bit further to explain this one. I say, bhikkhu, that existence too has proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for existence? So existence you can sort of consider that for the moment as that it is something that you are collecting. You are some sort of a collection is there.
Is this existence of the bhava?
Existence is bhava.
Ah, okay.
So bhava has two parts.
Okay.
Okay. So there is the existence of appearance and then the being as reappearance, being as action. Action becoming and the upatti bhava and kamma bhava. So now Buddha said that the clinging is the condition for the existence. So when we cling, we actually collect something, we hold something. So what are these clinging? So there are four kind of clinging. One is the sensual desire clinging, kama upadana, and silabbata upadana, that is virtue and duty clinging, and then this ditti upadana, view clinging, and then attavada upadana, that is this clinging to self, attavada, having assume a self, one would cling to it. It's sort of hard to understand.
Is that what they say? We say that we want to be born like this and...
No, that is silabbata. That is silabbata. Attavada upadana is that the volition has been formed and there is this consciousness comes as the result of the volitional formation becomes the consciousness. So the consciousness becomes the food and that leads to the attavada upadana. That's because of the attavada upadana that the never return, anagami would be born in that world. So it is that level. So there is this sensual desire clinging, that is that that there are five stands of sense pleasures, that whatever thing that is I is enticing and pleasurable. And so whatever thing, let's say we have some sort of food and I is enticing and pleasurable about that one, or maybe a person or flower or something. And we think about it. And this thought arises and we cling to those thoughts. So there is this sensuous desire clinging. It is not that object, it is my thought. I am clinging to my thought, raga, for the thought. And there is this view clinging, and we can go into those details if you want later on. And silabbata upadana is that let's say I am happy right now or at home, that well, everything is fine, everything is working well for me. And I got the job and, you know, got money, I got food to my stomach and house is there, children are fine, everything is fine, my neighbors are fine, everything is fine. So when that happy occasion, I would think, okay, that's good I hold the future at that time. So the future will be fine as well. So now I am happy, I hold the future, I cling to the future. And I want the future to be better because I see someone going in a Benz car or, you know, a king living in a palace. So I think, then I hear that that king actually got that status because he has done meritorious deeds before. He has got this virtue and all those things. Let me have those pleasures as well. So I have the duty and virtue clinging. I will be born in the Brahma world or the divine worlds by means of this this virtue and duty. So I thoroughly hold the future now. I want that to be like that. So that is this silabbata upadana, or that the virtue and duty clinging. And then there is this view clinging, that because of the pleasure that that has arisen to me because of whatever the forms or whatever thing it is, and that I pursue that pleasure. And then having pursued those things before, my mind now tend to regard these things as mine. this pleasure as mine. So I get the view that this is mine. So because of that one, this ditti upadan, the view clinging is coming to arise. And then the attavad upadan, or clinging to the self, is that now the person who went in that third path, where that I regard that feeling as mine, the perception as mine, the form as mine, all those things are mine. And I have done this mind making and I making. So these things are mine and that I am here. So having done that one for a long time, now I know that there is someone called I, the constructed I. I cling to that one. So that is this Atvadupadana, that one. So it is, you can see that one has gone a little bit further and clinging to that one. Although you remove certain parts of it, even that one does not go away.
That's why people have expectations for everything, isn't it?
Yeah. That grown up to that level, it's gone beyond the, you know, beyond the level that you can come out of it. So, now this upadana, or this the clinging, leads to the existence. What is that existence that we are talking about here? We said there are two kind of existence, but this existence is being as reappearance. Being as reappearance. I can give you a simple example here. Being as reappearance is that, let's say that I used to eat hopeless, right? Now imagine someone, somewhere, they consider this person as a different person. He says hoppers and hoppers. So, if I am hearing as a second person, then I would get some idea, sense pleasure. Because the pleasure, right? What is that pleasure? It's sense pleasure. Then you cut down the word pleasure and put it as the sense fear. That is what he is actually telling. With the hoppers, he is telling sense fear. Now, why would I grab that one? Because I have my volitional formation, sanskar. Formally having done that one, knowing that, let's say if you say hoppers, if a white fellow is going over there, he does not know what the hoppers is. He doesn't care. He is looking at, you know, that sort of thing. But having eaten that one, having perceived it before, having felt the pleasure, now that is the come above part, coming now. From the cravings, I got the clinging. That clinging leads to the appearance. So who is actually calling this hoppers? It is myself that lead to the same condition. And my other part, that is the come above part, coming and playing its part over there. So there are two things over here. It's very hard to understand this bhava part. So you can see.
Are you talking about tendencies like where no one has ever seen a hopper who develop an attachment to hoppers, like if he sees something, he sees that or smells that without ever eating a hopper? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, if he has not even seen it before, haven't heard about it before, and does not know anything like that one, then there is no clinging arising to him about that one. So if he sees it, he sees only.
Yeah. But if someone sees a hopper and if he gives...
He has eaten and tasted it.
In a previous life.
Same birth, maybe days ago, few days ago, yeah, hours ago, seconds ago.
So, what about things that we get attached to, like, straight away, having ever not experienced it? Is it coming from the previous life? Yes?
That's the bad part, yeah. Without not knowing, you know, you had these things before. Because the volitional formation is such a powerful thing, it constructs straight away. So I can recall some certain feelings. I know it was not from this birth, from my previous existence. These things are coming up. Because we have been doing this one for eons and eons. So that's why, you know, we get attached for things that we do not know as well. So, and then Buddha said, I say, Bhikkhu, that clinging to has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for clinging? it should be said craving. So craving is threefold. One is the kama tanha, that is this craving for sense pleasures, and the bhava tanha, that is this craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. So the non-existence is that you go into this higher concentration. If you have the identity view and you think that I want to get rid of these things, that I'm disgusted about this form, I don't want this form. So one would actually, having maintained the identity view, he would think that I will get rid of this one. So he regards this body is not mine. Whatever thing this is made from, these four great elements, and having seen something outside is the same nature, right? If I see urine outside and urine inside, that one is the same as this one. Okay, so I'm disregard the urine as not mine, and then the excreta as not mine, and then the hair outside is the same as hair inside, that is not mine, this is not mine. So similarly, you are applying this one thoroughly, you get rid of the desire for this form, but he still maintain the identity view. So that is this leading to the vibhavatanna, craving for non-existence. He thinks that I can become non-existence by getting rid of the attachment to this form or the feeling. Some people go to the perception as well. Some people go to the level of the volitional formation. That's how they read the neither perception, non-perception level. But still, since he maintains the identity view, all is coming back to the same one day. It's a temporary suspension. So I would say the bhavatanna is much better than the other two. So it leads to leading to the getting rid of. It's closer to nibbana. I say, Bhikkhu, that craving too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for craving? It should be said feeling. So what are these feelings? Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of body contact, feeling born of mind contact. So we have eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So out of these things, there is this feeling. Basically, there is some sort of a contact. There is eye and there is form, and the eye and the form meeting, there is this eye consciousness. Meeting of the three is called the contact. Because of the contact, there is this feeling. So that if it is based on the eye, so the feeling born of eye contact. If it is sound, it's not something to do with the ear, the feeling born of ear contact. So feeling can be analyzed different ways. That basically you can say three kinds: pleasurable feeling, displeasure feeling, neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. For feeling, it should be said contact. So what are these contact? Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, body contact, so the mind contact. So those are the contact. Similarly, that is this eye and the form. Eye consciousness come to your eyes. Meeting of three is called the contact. It meets. The characteristic of contact is that meeting it meets the three things together. And for contact, that the condition is the six sense basis. That is eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. For the six sense basis, name and form. Nama, rupa. What is this form? Form is the four great elements. And the form derived from them. So the four great elements are element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion and element of heat. So those are the four great elements. So whatever thing derived things like sounds and all those things are derived qualities out of that one. And when it comes to name, there are five things, that is the feeling, perception, volition, contact and attention. So that the mental factors, that feeling, and then there is this perception, the perceiving the same feeling that I have pleasure, I have this pleasure and so on. And there is this the volition. It's like volition is like the monitor in the class. It coordinates all the other states. And then there is this contact, and then the attention. We need the attention to see, you know, attention direct our mind to certain things. For example, if we are hearing Dhamma over here, And then if someone coming from that door, then we turn our right, so that attention went to this body, and then eye. So all those things is switching on between those applications, like eye, you know, stump body. So then now the name and form lead to the sixth sense basis, and sixth sense basis lead to contact, and contact lead to feeling, feeling lead to the craving, and craving lead to clinging, and so on. So it's going up to the liberation level. For name and form, the consciousness. So we get name and form, this mental content, from the consciousness. So consciousness is six kind: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. So those are the six kind of consciousness. We are aware from the consciousness. We are aware. This is pleasure. This is displeasure, and so on. Now, for consciousness, volitional formations, sankhara. So this sankhara, what are these sankhara? Sankhara is that you can say that the bodily activity. One is bodily activity. The other one is the verbal activity. Another one is the mental activity. So there are three kinds in that sense. But it goes a little bit further. So that's the simple way sort of to explain it. But it goes a little bit further. It's the activity producing good. It's called punyabhi sankhara. That is that when we are actually giving alms to monks, and you know, when you are doing good things, and we are listening to Dhamma, that we have this punyabhi sankhara, activity producing good. And again, when we are meditating and we have this form sphere concentrations, dhyana, that there is this punyabhi sankhara again. And
but when you meditate, when the other, it's not always directly you get the concentration, but you get that abhinoma.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not common to everybody, because there are a lot of other thoughts coming to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And from that also you make some sanskara, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
that there is a concentration always. There is a concentration, but what you are talking here is the concentration was not significant enough to produce that the higher results, like rapture and all those things. Always there is concentration. The concentration has to be developed. So there is this some element of concentration.
Yeah, that means it wouldn't give that if it is punyabhi sankhara.
It is punyabhi sankhara.
Yeah, but there are, maybe there are bad thoughts too.
That lead to the apunyabhi sankhara,
yeah.
From the bad thoughts. So the apunyabhi sankhara is the activity producing bad, that is this when we kill animals, steal, sexual misconduct, and the lying, all those things, harsh speech, all those things, this is apunyabhi. So whatever the bad thoughts from the mind also, going into that part. And then there is this aninjabhi sanskara, that means this activity producing unshakable. So that's arupa dhyana, you know, the formless fear, those meditations, levels, they are included in the aninjabhi sanskara. So there are these three kind of sankhara. So now these things lead to kamma bhava, action becoming. Remember I said that there are two kind of becoming. One is that the upaprapti, that is appearance. It's like that from that the hoppers example. So one is actually saying hoppers, and then the sense sphere. Sense sphere. So that's what it is. And then another one says, it is mine. Another one is actually saying, one is announcing, the other one says, it is mine.
I mean, you are talking about how somebody's mind working at that particular moment. Okay.
So there is this becoming, and you know, two kind of becoming. That is this kamma bhava, and then the upapapti bhava, it's being as action, being as reappearance. So what people have misunderstood this is from the upadana clinging is leads to the beingness reappearance. It is not the kamma. The kamma part comes from avidya. Avidya paccaya sankara. So we are talking about no this sanskara that leads to kamma. This has not been taken thoroughly by many, this idea. So now I say, Bhikkhu, that volitional formations do have a proximate cause, that do not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for volitional formation? It should be said ignorance. Avidya paccaya.
Sorry, before you go, and that upadana is, that's what's happening within your mind, isn't it? Because the sanskara is from one activity. Is that right?
Yes, previously, having done it before.
Yeah, and then then you again do that. If you kill an animal, so that's an activity, because of that you get a sanskara. And when you think about something and when you hear hoppers, and then the craving, that the desire that you get in your mind to eat that, and that craving
is coming from
making
the
upadana, and then it goes to the bhava.
Yeah. So bhava is that, that's the reappearance, the destination. My hoppers mean my destination is the sense sphere destination. So the Brahma, for example, he doesn't actually think about these hoppers, doesn't care about the hoppers. So his destination is not the sense sphere. It is out of the sense sphere.
So that means if you get that state, you realize that if you are not ignorant, you realize because this is that. But if you get a craving for that, you will will get a bhava. So if you say that what is that called?
Existence.
Yeah, but you don't get any sort of a feeling that you, nor aversion or anger, you know?
That is the liberated state. You are talking about the liberated state. Oh, you are contemplating, you are applying this dhamma,
right.
Impermanence nature, suffering nature, therefore you are out of that particular one.
Yeah.
So by the wisdom.
Yeah, you don't have any feeling at all at that time. It doesn't matter whether you have that or not. You don't get that, go to that state.
You can actually stop it in that way if you if you apply this thing. As soon as I meet that particular object, if you straight away apply it is impermanent, subject to suffering and nature, then you either close your eyes or you control your eyes in that sense that you are not going to grab that thing. But if you let it go, what is really need to understand, what happen if you let it go, you know, that you don't apply that theory. You don't look at the impermanent nature. Having seen something, there is something pleasurable. Well, I have perceived this before. And now when I see this one, so my mind, the volitional formation construct. That's the part of the volitional formation. It construct condition form as form. It construct condition feeling as feeling. It construct condition perception as perception. And the volitional formation as formation, and the consciousness as consciousness. As soon as I see the hopper, something like a hopper, all these five constructed. So that is this come apart, coming, because I have perceived it before and I accepted it as mine, right? And because I accepted that this is mine, I have done the I making and my making. When it comes, flush it with that thought. And then I grab it, I get the upadana, clinging part, and that leads to the existence, the appearance as a being in that world, whatever the world that it leads to. So that bhava has to be split into two. So upadana leads to one path, and the kamma path, avidya path, coming from that length, is lead to the making it, you know, claiming it to be mine. That's what this avidya paccaya sankara, what it does, is claim this one to be mine. This is mine. See that the what I am so talking about, this hoppers, it is me who is doing the both are me. Okay? And these are my two different instances making it occurring at the same time now. So I am the one who is saying hoppers and hoppers. Abhinandati abhivadati. So I express that I welcome it. So because of my doing this one, so I am actually saying hoppers, hoppers. The sense special, sense special. The sense fear, sense fear. I am repeating it in that sense. It's happened just like that. And how it happens? Because of my volitional formation, it constructs to be that way. So I cling into that one and shape in my destiny that I'll be born in such and such a world.
The karma that you were talking about in this instance is not a karma that coming from a previous birth. It's from this one.
From maybe this birth or maybe previous birth as well.
Yeah.
I must have gone through that the avidya path. That is the in the case of nutriment, I have gone through the consciousness as the nutriment. Having done that one, well, I claim this to be mine. This I am. So it should be said ignorance. So this volitional formations comes from ignorance. Avidya paccha sankara. Thus, bhikkhu, that with ignorance as proximate cause, volitional formations come to be. With volitional formations as proximate cause, consciousness. With consciousness as proximate cause, name and form. With name and form as proximate cause, the six sense bases. With six sense bases as proximate cause, contact. With contact as proximate cause, feeling. With the feeling as proximate cause, craving. With craving as proximate cause, clinging. With clinging as proximate cause, existence. With existence as proximate cause, birth. With birth as proximate cause, suffering. With suffering as proximate cause, faith. With faith as proximate cause, gladness. With gladness as proximate cause, rapture. With rapture as proximate cause, tranquility. With tranquility as proximate cause, happiness. With happiness as proximate cause, concentration. With concentration as proximate cause, the knowledge and vision of things as they really are. That is yathabhuta jnana. With knowledge and vision of things as they really are, as proximate cause, revulsion. With revulsion as proximate cause, dispassion. With dispassion as proximate cause, liberation. With liberation as proximate cause, knowledge of destruction. Destruction of those taints, astral. Just as bhikkhu, when rain pours down in thick droplets on a mountain top, the water flows down along the slope and fills the cleft gullies and creeks. These being full fill up the pools. These being full fill up the lakes. These being full fill up the streams. These being full fill up the rivers. And these being full fill up the great oceans. So too with the ignorance as proximate cause, volitional formations, and then go to the knowledge of destruction. So you can see this dependent origination with the extent that up to the liberation. And it's quite a lot to take over here. And but it's really happening in that way.
Can you explain that hoppers thing that I was thinking through? Because when little children, when they cannot express everything, and then if they see milk or if they see some food that they would like to have, then they cannot say that the way they scream and struggle until it is given to
that's
them.
That's right. But if you put hoppers or something that they are not aware.
That's what is happening within your mind.
Yes. Because that volitional formation is not constructing anything. Even the milk, because the baby has tasted that milk, now it knows. The baby knows about it. And since they do not know about the whole person,
they struggle with the body and everything, but because they cannot express. But we may be seen as calm, but within our mind, so it's the struggle, isn't it?
Yeah. That if you are contemplating about the dependent origination, sort of start with the six sense spheres and go down to, you know, that because of the six sense spheres, then there is this contact. Contact come to arise. Everyone agrees on that one, right? Everyone can see that this my eye meet the form, and then depending on the two, eye consciousness arises. So meeting of the three is contact. Depending on the contact, that I have the feeling. That this feeling that I have now wasn't there before. Now I have different feeling because of the contact. When I have the feeling, and there is this, the craving. I like it. the craving come to arise. When it is pleasurable. When it is displeasure also, there is craving, because that I want the other way around. It's the coin to, has got two sides. One is leading to this craving side, the other one is leading to the anger side. So I flip the coin. If I get the, let's say, queen is the side that I like, then I get the tail. What I prefer is the other one. So I'm clinging to the other side of the coin. So again, there is craving. And when it is neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable also, because of the ignorance, that leads to the ignorance. Because of the ignorance, ignorance creates the leading to the craving. So there is no escape out of that one either. So we are going through the wrong path again. So when we get the cravings, so craving leads to the clinging, that I want to hold it as mine very badly. This is mine. So, and that clinging leads to the existence of the very same craving. If you take the existence in the simple sense, it is the craving for the very same thing that I have perceived before. That can be explained in that kamma bhava and in the appearance part both. But simply, if you want to remember in simple terms, it is the existence of the very same craving we are talking about. That whatever thing that gave rise to the pleasure and the happiness that I regard as mine, that one I am actually holding. It's like that having seen something, I put something to a, you know, box of money, you put something, you collected and put something for some purpose. So that same purpose, by the time of death, led to another birth. That, you know, I collected this one for some purpose, that one is there.
So the meditation is also the same thing, isn't it? Because it's also if we crave for that, so we will be better in the next life, if we get a next life. I mean, in a place like that, we can meditate.
If you get a proper place,
yeah.
Proper place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, by clinging, what we actually get is the other way around.
What do you mean other way around? For clinging to meditation?
Clinging to meditation is fine.
Yeah, that's what
clinging
I said.
To meditation means that you are actually clinging to the liberation. You are actually clinging. The meditation won't grow if you are actually clinging to the meditation. You are actually having thoughts for the liberation. I want to get rid of this. So that's what lead to the concentration and the, otherwise that your meditation become, I know what you mean by this. It is the properly expressed in the sense that if you are meditating, if you think about the Nirodha, the cessation part, that's where you get the rapture and all those things. When you contemplate about the arising phenomena, it is because it is leading to the suffering, that I am suffering, I know it is suffering, this one lead to the suffering, it doesn't actually take you out of it. The concentration, happiness, all those things come in when you think about the cessation part. There is escape for me. I can get out of this one. How do I get out of this one? This is the way to get out of this one. So that's the eightfold path. So you are basically clinging to get rid of suffering. Yeah, I think we have gone beyond the time. We'll stop for there.